let me just draw your attention to some of the announcements. The Women's Bible Study on Thursday is right there in the Fellowship Hall. You might see the television sets up there because they actually has some video that goes along with that study. And it's Elijah. I don't know if you've done much work with Elijah, but he's dynamic. You know, so it's a good study. So be there if you can. Don't miss that. And then the youth, you see right under the Bible study, it says youth happening. The Bible study at 9:30. I know that, this is not people's normal time. We've gotten out of all the normal times. But nevertheless, you're invited to that. And then this afternoon at 5 o'clock, they're going to have some activities. And so here again, invite you to come to that. There's some birthdays on here. I think somebody said one was not right, but I can't remember who it was. But somebody's got a birthday that's not right on there. But notice on the bulletin, I'm going to talk about life this morning a little bit. And I think somewhere along the line I might say, life doesn't, it flies by. But notice, time is in God's hands, except, evidently, for Rhonda, because she's not here today. So, but notice that on the bulletin date, August 26th. So we went back a little bit. I don't mind doing that, but I'm not sure. Yeah, it should be September, but nevertheless.
She didn't want to do it.
Just skip that whole month altogether. Well, maybe that's, I didn't notice it was like that last week, but anyway. Okay. Well, all right, kid her when you see her. She's not here this morning, but nevertheless, good to see you this morning. Notice on the back, there's plenty of people that we need to pray for and pray about and for, and so continue to do that if you will. I'm going to ask Rick to step forward and say something about the Harlan Youth Center, you'll want to hear this. It's a good ministry.
Well, I'm going to give you a little bit of a rundown because there are people here who aren't familiar with the Youth Center, haven't been here before, but they have a Church of the Month program. It's a youth center in Harlan. They have after-school activities for all the kids in the schools in the community, teen program, a developmentally disabled program, a lot of things going in the Harlan community. They've been there for 22 years now. Serving the community, entirely supported by donations, free will offerings of sorts, and grants, which are also given freely. And they're doing a great job in the Holland community of raising those kids and teaching them about the Lord. And their Church of the Month program is we have a number of churches that support the Youth Center, and we have certain months of the year that those churches are asked to provide snacks and treats for the kids because that's part of ministering to kids when they get out of school is you have to feed them. You're not going to get their attention until their stomach is full. So we always bring them in and have snacks. And October, the month coming up, is the month for two churches. So we only get half the load here. This church and South Scipio Church in Harlan to provide snacks and drinks for the kids at the youth center. It's about 30 to 40 kids per day. So if you could bring in and donate during the month of October, anything toward that, we'd love to have you do that. We beg that you do. If you want to just bring in individual serving kind of snacks or drinks, like the Capri Suns or what have you, those are what works best. Whatever you can, bring it in to church on Sunday. We'll see that it gets to the youth center. And we only really need about 10 days worth altogether because we have a second church that's also helping for the month. So whatever you can do is appreciated. Thank you very much in advance. And we'll look forward to seeing how much stuff we can take there for the kids this month. Thank you.
Amen. If you get a chance to go over there, it's really good. And they're doing some great work over there. And one of the things I particularly marveled at was actually the school brings children over on the bus and lets them out. And of course, when did that start, Rick? The busing? Yeah.
The busing actually started in 2010 when the local elementary school shut down.
Okay.
We were able to make arrangements with the transportation department, which I don't know that we could do today, but they're still doing it.
Right.
Bringing kids directly from the school to us.
Yeah. I you know, we talked to the school down here one time, and things were going really well as far as having something similar to that. And but they wouldn't let the kids walk this way, and they wouldn't let the bus drop them off. Now, this is the emergency shelter for that school, so they can walk right down this yard, but they can't let them walk here in the afternoon. PC stuff, that's what that is. But anyway, forget all that junk. The Lord's doing a good work over there in Harlan, and we can be a part of that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for your will and your way in our lives. We thank you for all you do. It is a marvelous and wonderful thing that we can come together as your people in this place to raise up prayer, to raise up songs of praise and thanks. And we just ask you to be right. We invite you to be with us this morning. Wherever you're, two or three are gathered together, the scripture said, there you are in the midst. So Lord, thank you for being with us this morning. Touch hearts here this day. For these things I ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
If you're happy and you know it, stand and sing. Happiness is to know the Savior, living a life within his favor, having a change in my behavior. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is a new creation, Jesus and me. In close relation, having a part in his salvation, happiness is the Lord. Real joy is mine, no matter if teardrops start. I found the secret, it's Jesus in my heart. Happiness is to be forgiven, living a life that's worth the living, taking a trip that leads to heaven. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is the Lord. Happiness is the Lord. I am thine, O Lord, I have heard thy voice, and it tore I off to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by thy power and grace divine. Let my soul lift up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. Draw me near, near, blessed Lord, cross where thou hast died. Draw me near, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. For the pure, dear light of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with thee, God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me near, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me near, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are hearts of joy that I may not reach. reach till I rest in peace with Thee. Drawing nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Drawing nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side.
Our Father and Lord, we come to You and we thank You, Father, for the beautiful day that You provided us and for the pleasant temperatures. And we thank You for, at the same time, climate control in which we have in most of our homes and in this church. And we pray that You would go with us and that we won't be so comfortable that we forget You and don't give You glory, but that we will always do that and look to You for our every comfort and our every love. For this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Please stand once again.
What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to care. God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. Oh, because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Are we weak and weary laden, covered with a load of care? Precious Savior, still our refuge, take it to the Lord in prayer. To Thy friends despise, forsake thee. Take it to the Lord in prayer. In his arms he'll take and shield thee. Thou wilt find a solace there.
Thank you. Please be seated.
Thank you, guys, and thank you, pianist and organist. If you have your Bible, I sure hope you do, turn with me to Psalms 127 this morning. Starting reading in verse 3, going down to verse 5, that's the end of that psalm. You're saying to yourself, boy, I'm glad that's too short. Have a tendency, don't I, to start reading and I just can't stop. I just keep going. But anyway, Psalms 127, starting in verse 3, the psalmist says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord." Does anybody know what heritage is? Or how could you define that? Somebody else got another word there? What was it, Joy? That's not exactly what I was looking for, but thank you anyway. A gift. Children are a gift from God. And the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hands of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is that man that hath his quiver full of them, and they shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Lord, be with us today as we look at your word. We pray, Father God, that indeed your Holy Spirit will be right here in our midst. We invite you to come. We invite you, Father God, to enliven our hearts to your word, your scripture. Father, if we don't look at your word today and we don't investigate it, we've just basically done a whole lot of nothing. So, Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We have the opportunity to give offerings. But, Lord, help us to come around your word right now and be blessed by it, strengthened. Perhaps, Lord, there's somebody here carrying a heavy load this morning that needs to be lifted. Perhaps, Lord, there's a perspective that needs to be changed. Perhaps, Lord, there's somebody here this morning who's never given their heart to Christ. What a glorious day. This is the day of salvation. Lord, bring that home, that truth to their hearts and convict them and draw them unto yourself. We ask your blessing, Lord, on this service today. There are those, Father, that have burdens today. We pray, Father, you'd lift them. Speak to their hearts as well. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. When I was a child, I used to kind of marvel at the change of the seasons. My heart would kind of just get excited about in the fall when the leaves are changing, the colors and all. Isn't it incredible the colors that can come? And of course, you know, we have some pretty good leaf changing things around here. Of course, you can go down to Brown County or something like that, and it's supposed to be really cool down there. We went down there one time, but nevertheless, that's an interesting phenomena as to how that happens and how the Lord does that. And of course, when winter would come, I always, when especially I remember when we lived in Missouri with my grandmother, because Missouri didn't have a whole lot of snow, and when it would snow, my grandma said, "If it snows, then we'll make snow ice cream." Has anybody ever ate snow ice cream? You have. Yeah. So I was looking forward to that. But so it started snowing. And I remember getting off the back porch and going around like this, you know, trying to catch those snowflakes in my mouth, you know. And my grandma was a sweet lady. She said, "Come on in here. You know, we're going to do some ice cream in a little bit when it gets an accumulation, you know." So anyway, wasn't that fun? Have you ever done that? Am I the only one? Oh, okay, good. And especially, of course, I think, and I still do, get excited in spring when those flowers are starting to bust through, especially if we had a really cold winter, bust through. And, you know, those little daffodil people and those, what are those other things? Crocus, you know, some of those first ones that come up, you know, you start seeing them in the flower bed there. And, you know, spring is coming. I like summer. I couldn't hardly wait for summer. We'd be out of school, but, you know, you could get in your shorts. Of course, we lived in Missouri at that time that I'm thinking of this particular instance. And Ron Kibb has lived in Missouri. Or Missouri? Which, where, what is it? Yeah, whatever. My grandmother evidently lived in the bad part of Missouri because she called it Missouri. My mom said that the state was called Missouri. The river is called Missouri. Obviously, that's not the case. But anyway, we lived there. And from time to time, there would be these little things called chiggers. Anybody know what a chigger is? Yeah, those are friendly little fellows, aren't they? They just want to get real close to you. And they like to find tight places, get around that tight place. I found out that one of the things you could do to solve that problem is don't wear any clothes. Well, actually, I did wear a pair of shorts, and so I didn't have any socks on, no shirts or anything like that. So the only place they would get was right around that waistband, you know. But I love summer because, you know, everything is warming up. I look for the opportunities to get outside and play and do all those kind of things and go swimming. There was a nice creek not too far from us. We'd go down there and swim in the creek. So, you know, these changes of seasons, but times have changed. And I marvel how fast that fall comes anymore. We're in that season now. We're headed towards winter. And I'm not really anticipating going around like, you know. We get kind of cold around here. We get some snow around here. So, you know, the winter comes after, you know, it just happens all the time. But that means also another year is passing by, doesn't it? And time does kind of fly by. Pray tell why? Because I'm getting old as the hills, and it sure feels like, where did summer go? Unfortunately, winter lingers a little bit, but anyway, does that happen with you? It just seems like they're just happening. And though I enjoy the seasons and all those kind of things, my old grumpy mindset, the attitudes have changed towards some of that. And I realize that fall now brings winter, and winter brings bitter cold, and winter's brittle cold brings shoveling snow. Shoveling snow leads to cleaning the windows off on the car and all that kind of stuff. And I don't look forward to that, actually. My wife sometimes is very helpful on that in the sense when I go outside, she tries to bundle me up, just like when I was a little kid, you know, put it on a scarf, put it on all kind of stuff like that. And then she'll say, now don't be getting out there and shoveling something. I'll have to find you dead in the driveway. You know, so take it easy kind of a thing. Anyway, it's your perspective on it, isn't it, that's really changed. The seasons happen all the time, but you've changed your perspective, your outlook. It's then when I stop to think about these things in a deeper way that I realize life for me has taken on a whole new meaning, really. I've learned that life is a wonderful gift from God. It's a precious treasure. Over in Psalms 137, it says, I will praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know right well. Proverbs says, children are a crown of old men, and the glory of the children are their fathers. I'm thinking to myself, you know, that's an interesting thing because it's been my experience in the ministry that getting the men involved in their families sometimes is the hard thing. Now, we have some women who evidently have forgotten what mothering is all about too. But nevertheless, each day is indeed an invitation for us to an adventure of unfolding the mystery of life. And we need to solve it. Lamentations says, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Isn't that wonderful? Life is a challenge, isn't it? It's full of opportunities. It's full of hardships. It's full of tragedy, all those kind of things. Someone has said that a smooth sea never helps make a skilled sailor. James 1 says, blessed is that man that endures temptations, for which he is, when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life. Life has many hardships. There are many trials. There are many things that happen that are not pleasant, that are not good. But life still is beautiful. I stood on a mountain in Montana one time, and I climbed up there and got up there, and I could look out just miles and miles and miles. And I thought, wow, this is so fantastic. And actually, there was a herd of elk down on the little side there, and I was thinking to myself, boy, I wonder if I could get up here and shoot one of those. But anyway, I was thinking how beautiful it was. And I thought this thought kind of popped into my mind. I'm probably the only human being who's ever been on top of this mountain. And I was thinking to myself, wow, you know. And I took a few steps over here. Guess what I found? A beer can. Somebody'd been there, carried a beer all the way up there with them. I guess they probably sat there and drank the beer, and then they threw it down on the ground. I wasn't the only one there, but that doesn't really make any difference. It still was beautiful. You know, there's an old song by Nelson Eddy. Anybody ever remember Nelson Eddy? Actually, this song was very, very popular, 1934, I believe. But it says, "Ah, sweet mystery of life, at last I've what? Found thee. Ah, I know at last the secret of it all. All the longing, seeking, striving, waiting, yearning, the burning hopes, the joy, the idle tears, for it is love and love alone the world is seeking." You know, actually, that's partially true. Nelson Eddy and all those people who followed that, they were talking about love between a man and a woman. But you see, the Bible tells us that God is love. It's not, love is not a conceptual idea that just floats around and you grab it. Love can be a conceptual idea because God has interjected that into your heart and your mind, and you understand a little bit about what love is all about. But if our love is confined to just those ethereal things, then we're not getting to the real source and the nature of love. Love, God is love. Pure love. Romans 5:8 says what? "But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." That word commendeth means what? Demonstrated. God demonstrates his love to you. In knowing love, it must be demonstrated to us, or we don't quite get it. It took me a long time. You know, I'm 73 now. There is a mystery of life, and if we don't understand that life is from God, a gift, and that God is love, we're missing it. A lot of people are missing it. They're doing all kinds of things. You know, they have great houses, they have wonderful cars, and they go on vacations, they jet all over the world, and yet many of them are empty inside. Mystery in the New Testament is something that at one time had been hidden, but now is revealed to God's people, I should add, I suppose. The Apostle Paul uses that word mystery 21 times in the epistles. Do you know that? I don't know who sits down and finds those things out, but somebody does. The mystery of God is the consummation of God's plan of salvation in Christ Jesus because he is love. He takes the initiative. He does this. He moves to bring us back in right relationship to him. And my friend, listen, if you get nothing else about this morning, if you miss that, you miss everything. You've missed everything. Colossians says, "Christ in you," what? "The hope of glory." So the key to life is a life in Christ. Getting this wonderful, uplifting truth into our minds and our hearts that God is the creator, and he is the creator of life, and he is love. Every breath that we take is really a gracious gift of God Almighty to us. I remember reading years and years ago, somebody was debating somebody on creation versus evolution, and the evolutionist had the first opportunity. And he said, "Well, you take a little dirt," and the creation guy said, "That's God's. Get your own dirt." I think to myself, "Yeah, you know, that's right, isn't it? That's right." The Scripture teaches us that we, humankind, we're not meant only to live in the here and now, and for these short periods of time in our existence. From the very beginning, God has created us and means for us to live with him. God has got this place called heaven, And you know, it's an interesting thing. You go back and you read. You know how many times heaven is talked about in the scripture? I don't know specifically. But you know how many times hell is talked about in the scripture? Five times as many. It's amazing, isn't it? God wants us to recognize that this is on a journey. We're on a pilgrimage here. And we begin here, and we're going to go someplace, but it doesn't end there. We step from time into eternity. And we're going to step from time into eternity to meet God face to face and be part of his forever family in heaven. Or we're going to meet God, and he's going to say, "Depart from me, you wicked, unprofitable servant." That's no good. That's terrible. And sadly, many people feel today that their lives are basically meaningless, don't they? They have no purpose in their life. Millions of Americans suffer from depression. You know that? They're discouraged and they're without hope. Males, it's said in our society, have a suicide rate almost four times greater than females. So we must worry more or something. I don't know what the deal is there. We as Americans have the highest rate of suicide in any developed nation. Yet we're one of the most prosperous nations in the world. You know what that should tell us something? Very obviously. It's obvious what it should be telling us, that things don't satisfy our deepest inner longings. They just can't do it. This can't do it. The one who died, I saw a bumper sticker. It says, "The one who dies with the most toys wins." No, that's not it. The one who dies only with the most toys is the biggest loser of all time. That's what that is. Jeremiah 9:23 says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise men glory," means to brag about or boast, "in his wisdom. Neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches." The real meaning of life is not found in any of those things. Wisdom, money, glory, none of those. Solomon was a man of great wisdom, wasn't he? He was a man of great power, and his power and his kingdom, he became a very wealthy man. But in 1 Kings 11, Solomon says that he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. As we were coming back from the fellowship meeting the other day, my wife said something, and I said, "Well, he had 700 wives." Listen, another obvious thing. Hugh Hefner says, "Get as many men, women as you can. Have them lined up." You know, obviously it doesn't help. It doesn't help a bit. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, "Let us hear the conclusion of this whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." You can have all the wealth in the world. You can have all the wisdom in the world. You can have all the women in the world. That's not going to satisfy that innermost part of who you are and your being. Abraham was a man of great riches. The Bible tells us that. But he didn't find his purpose in his flocks and his herds and his riches. He found his purpose as being the friend of God. Wow. What a compliment for him. David, of course, was a mighty man of valor. He was a great warrior king. The people sang, "Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands." But he didn't find his meaning in those things of life as a great warrior, but he found his meaning in being a man after God's own heart. Wow. John 17 says, "This is life eternal, that you might know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent." That's the most important thing in all of life, to know the Lord Jesus, to come to that relationship with him. That doesn't solve all the world's problems. It doesn't even straighten your path. There's no lumps or bumps there. But now you have the Lord walking with you in this life. I got one more thing. Tom, you can tell Clarence this. We had a funeral. Little Tom's wife, Friday, And Clarence and I did the funeral. And Clarence called me up and he said that he had an illustration he wanted to use. And after the illustration, I told Clarence, hey, can I use that illustration? He says, only if you give me credit. So Tom, tell him I gave him credit. It's Clarence's. Does anybody have a $100 bill that I can have this morning? What's that? What, you got one, Bob? Oh, okay. I should have realized Bob probably got a pocket full of those things. Yeah, yeah. He's an entrepreneur, you know, he sells stuff, buys stuff. Guy always making money. So he, you know, $100 bill. Okay, was that a $100 bill? Okay. Is it real?
Yeah.
Best I can tell? Yeah, okay. All right. Lou, is this a $100 bill?
Yep.
It's real, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. So I have a $100 bill here from Bob. Does anybody want it? Oh, okay. Why do you want it? It has value, doesn't it? It's a treasury note for $100. I hardly ever see these, Bob, but nevertheless. It's got value to it. If it was laying on the parking lot out here this afternoon, you'd probably stop and what? Pick it up. Yeah. And then you would rush back in. You say, hey, did anybody lose a $100 bill? No, you probably wouldn't. Yeah. It has value. That's what we place. It's a Federal Reserve note for $100. That's a pretty good little thing. Yeah, it's got value. It's got value. So I just crinkled it all up. Does it still have value? Why does it still have value? It's all messed up. It's all crinkled up. Because it's a $100 bill, it's a Federal Reserve note. It doesn't make any difference how many folds it's got to do. It doesn't make any difference how many dents it has and all that kind of stuff. It's got value. It will have value. So it has value, doesn't it? What if I took the thing and threw it on the floor? And stomped it. Rubbed my foot over it like that. All kinds of things like that. I can't tell you where all my shoes have been this morning. And I won't say what Clarence said. I don't know how to say that and get away with it. So my shoes have been all over the place this morning. Does anybody want this $100 bill? It's all crinkled up. My shoes have been stomping on it and all that kind of stuff. Oh, somebody. Why? Well, still has value. Even though it's crinkled and crinkled all up, even though it's stomped up, probably got all kinds of wonderful germs on it. Might even have some COVIDs on it. I don't know. All kinds of stuff all over it. But still, we would take it because it has intrinsic value in it because it's a $100 bill. Guess what? A lot of people's lives are just as fouled up as that, all crushed up, broken up, all kinds of things. A lot of people's lives are so filthy that you wouldn't really want to touch them. But God in Christ loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross for us to redeem that $100 bill. Why? Because he loves them. He loves us. We have intrinsic value to God. Some people, you know, just the other day, somebody drove by someplace and shot up a bunch of people standing on the sidewalk. Obviously, to whoever the shooter was, life meant nothing to him or her, whoever it was. There was people wounded there. If you lived in Chicago, I think I'd leave on the weekends, don't you? Man, they're shooting people up there like a shooting gallery. Life must not mean a whole lot to some folks, but God loves you so much that even though you're all fouled up and you're filthy as filthy can be by sin, he came and paid the price for you so that you could be back in relationship to him. The Bible says that God is love. And Paul says he committed, he demonstrated that love in that while you were, what, yet sinners, Christ died for you. Wow. I won't do what Clarence did because he's very bold and I'm just a meek person. But he said, you know, some of you in this room at the funeral yesterday, he said this, didn't he, Tom? He said, some of you people need to repent. He actually was going like that, wasn't he? I don't know if he was actually pointing to people or not. I was trying not to pay that much attention to that particular part. He said, some of you in this room right now need to rededicate your lives to Christ. And you know what? As much as it makes us uncomfortable, and as much as we don't like that, Clarence said, I didn't come down here to mince words. I came down to here to tell you about Jesus. God in Christ died for you. You're valuable. Doesn't make any difference what has happened and how you've been scarred and how you've been beat up and how you've been crushed and all the stuff that's happened in your life. God in Christ wants to forgive your sins and make you whole and put you in his forever family. Is that not good? Evidently not too great because there's not a single one amen. Is that not good?
Amen.
All right, we're doing better. Okay. Listen, you have intrinsic worth to God. I don't care who you are, what you've done or haven't done, how you failed, how you succeeded, it doesn't matter. God loves you. But he has to redeem you. He has to redeem you. That means that we have to humble ourselves. Pray, ask for forgiveness, ask God to come in our life, seal us with the Holy Spirit of God unto the day of full redemption, and Lord, use us until that time and that day comes. That's the promise of God, who is a God who creates life. Death is not his bailiwick. Death comes because of sin. Sin comes because we have the incredible thing of saying yes or no to God. And somewhere along the line, 100% of us in here have said no to God. Some of us in this morning, I don't know how many, have actually said yes to God. Life. Choose life, friends. Wonderful. Blessed. Jesus is going to walk with you no matter what's happening through life. It'll change your perspective. Doesn't have anything to do with being getting old. It'll change your perspective on what life is all about. Choose life in Christ. Father God, we thank you for your great gift of salvation in Jesus. We thank you, Father, that indeed, willfully, overtly, we have sinned. But Lord, you've provided a way. You've paid the sin debt. You can buy us back out of that slave market of sin and make us, and set our feet upon the rock and make us your people. Lord, if that doesn't bring joy to your heart, nothing will. So Lord, I pray that we will be a people full of joy. Different perspective. Oh, the world crushes me down and I get the bad mouthing and I get to do... No. Glory to God. It's a wonderful life. And the opportunities you give are vast and many. And the challenges, even the hardships and the rocky roads, you do not forsake us. You go with us through them and bring us through. And Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, if there's somebody here this morning who's never embraced Christ as their Lord and Savior, I pray that today might be the day of salvation for them. Lord, maybe there's somebody else here that your Spirit has spoken to, and they need to make an open public decision in any way, whatever is, Lord, that you had laid on their heart. We're going to sing this song of invitation, Lord. Use this time to convict and draw your people to help us have a new change of heart. For these things we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I think our song of invitation this morning, and I'll ask you to stand.
Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into thy freedom, gladness, and light. Jesus, I come to thee. I come to thee. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come. Jesus, I come. Into the glorious gain of thy cross, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of our sorrows into thy balm, out of life's storms and into thy calm, out of distress to jubilant song, Jesus, I come to thee.
Tom coming this morning, and he says, Mike, I just want to rededicate my life to Christ. Wow. But you know, it's a necessary thing. It's a necessary thing. He's a man of God. God's Spirit works and calls. And he's strong enough, brave enough to say, Lord, it's been a hard time. And I want you to guide and direct my life. Isn't that marvelous? Amen. Amen. We're going to close in prayer, but I'm going to let Tom stand up here. And you can come by. He's washed his hands with all kind of antiseptic. And you can shake his hand and thank him for coming this morning. Father, we come together in this place to honor Jesus. And we come together, Lord, as people who are crinkled, torn, bruised. But Lord, you can make us well again. And Lord, even though we walk with you and have that promise, you tell us over in 1 John, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord. We don't have to be perfect. We just need to be forgiven. So be with us now as we go individual ways. Help us to go from this place with a new perspective that life is life in Jesus, or we're missing life. For it's in his precious name I pray. Amen.